For those of you who maybe have been new to the church in the last few weeks and don't know who I am, my name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. But it's been 3 weeks since I've shared the Word of God on Sunday morning. We've been in our Awaken, a Call to Prayer campaign, and we've been using just all the great resources and speakers that we have within the church, and it's just so awesome to be a part of a church that's so rich in resources and people that have such awesome things to share. I've been so blessed by that. I get to continue the series today. 4 weeks ago, I began the series by speaking to you more about the awaken part of our theme, and I expressed to you the fact that I believe God is wanting to awaken us to His purposes and to the battle that we are fighting for His destiny in our lives. There has been such an apathetic and depressing spirit that seems to just be hanging over the world these last couple years. Would you agree with that? There's been so much turmoil. There's been so much focus on a virus and a vaccine. So many disappointments and restrictions. I don't know about you, but to me, it's been exhausting. It's been demoralizing. It's been a time of endurance and survival. It certainly has not been a time of dreaming, a time of vision. I was thinking here this week, it was in February 2020. 2 years ago that I had just gotten my visa to travel into a new nation in the 1040 window for the very first time to do some gospel crusades outside of Africa where I had been doing them up to that time. I was excited. New doors were opening, new opportunities to preach the gospel. Here as a church, we had just finished our very first church-wide campaign, and people were pumped about it. People were fired up. We were setting attendance records on our Sunday mornings. I had never heard the word COVID in my life. Those were good days. And 2 weeks before I was to leave in the first week of April, COVID ended up canceling that trip. Little did I know that it would be the start of 2 years of cancellations. For our kids, every major sporting opportunity was canceled. Every trip overseas was canceled. Everything we seemed to try to do as a church was either canceled or limited. You know, I had so many Sundays where I preached to nothing but those cameras on the wall and the camera operators who ran them. I'm grateful this morning to be preaching to some live bodies. It's awesome. Now, 2 years ago, we had double the amount of you, although it's growing week by week, and I'm encouraged by that, really encouraged by that. And I've been realizing lately just how significant all of this has been in my own spirit. Sometimes things happen, and you don't even realize what's happening on the inside of you. But I've been realizing that I've been affected by this. You see, I've always been a dreamer. I've always been a visionary. But I've found it hard to dream recently. Can anybody relate to this? In fact, I think it's become safer in some ways not to dream these days because we just don't want to be disappointed again. But you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. When we don't have a vision, when we don't have a hope for the future, we lose all of our power in the present. We wander, we make poor choices, we just don't do well. We all need to live with purpose in order to live with passion. And to me, part of what this series is about is God opening our eyes once again and awakening us to who He is and what He wants to do in our lives and also in this church together. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm excited these days. I see something powerful is beginning to happen. I see hunger rising in the people of God again. I see that people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God is using that to put a longing in our hearts for Him. There is a revelation that's come. Oh God, I need you. I was so blessed this Wednesday. We had our first of the four nights of prayer and fasting. And I walked into that library at 7 o'clock and it was full. It was a full library. People had come to seek God. And there was a distinct sense of people saying, God, we've been far from you. We've been distracted. We've been discouraged. We've been broken. And we need a fresh move of God. We need another outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a fresh baptism of fire. And I believe that something is happening. Coldness and apathy are being warmed by the Spirit of God. I hear it, I feel it in my own spirit. There's a new passion that I see rising in the people of God. I see hope is beginning to stir again. I don't know if you heard my dad's message last week, but it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. I found it life-giving for me. I found myself being stirred in a fresh way. Even as he was telling some stories of the past, something was being provoked in my spirit. It's time for some new stories. And we've been in this, and this is what I feel God wants me to preach to you today. And what I feel he wants me to challenge you with. He wants me to provoke you that it's time to pray some bold prayers. We've been in a season of endurance and we've been hanging on, but I really believe that something is shifting. There is a shifting in the atmosphere. I could prophesy it to you this morning. Something is shifting in Jesus' name. It's a time where we are shifting from endurance and hanging on to go time. It's a go season. I can prophesy it. I prophesy it in the name of Jesus this morning. It's go time. It's a go time. It's a time when God wants to rebirth some old dreams. It's a time for you to take some of those old dreams off the shelf and dust them off again. It's a time when God wants to impart to his people some new vision, some new hope, and some new dreams. I feel it in my spirit this morning. I feel God saying it to me personally. It's a time when God wants to provoke us to pray some bold prayers as we believe for some great things. By the way, I just got my visa again this week. I'm going to that nation in the beginning of April. In Jesus' name. Destiny delayed does not mean destiny denied in the kingdom of God. You know, the enemy has given us a lot of trouble, but the bold prayer that I've been praying these days is, Lord, give me double for my trouble. And last night, Gary prophesied that to me, and it's written in my notes. That's been my prayer. There's been this boldness arising in me and saying, God, I've been given trouble. We've been given trouble as a church. The enemy seems to think, what was once happening 2 years ago isn't happening now. Where's the people? Where's this and that? Listen, devil, I'm prophesying to you. The Lord is going to give me double for my trouble. Let's pray it, church. The theme is awaken, a call to prayer. You see, not only is God wanting us to awaken us to his purposes, but he's calling us to pray them into existence. And if he's calling us to pray, then I believe he's calling us to not just pray little prayers, but to pray bold prayers. And that's the first point I want to make this morning, is that the scriptures actually exhort us to pray boldly. You know, one of the reasons why people struggle to pray is that their view of God is too small. And because their view of God is too small, their prayers just dribble off their lips. There's little fervency, there's little expectation, there's little motivation, and as a result, there's little result. But when you begin to grasp who God is, his power that's available to you, the hope that he's called you to, I want to tell you, it changes the way you pray. You begin to pray boldly and you begin to pray with great expectation. Church, this is the kind of prayer that brings heaven to earth. This is the kind of prayer that delights the heart of God. In James 5:16, it says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." It's the earnest prayer that produces results. An earnest prayer is a bold prayer. It's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer that is rooted in a revelation of a mighty God whose hand is not too short to save. I love the book of Ephesians. In fact, in the first message of the series, we were in those first few chapters where Paul is exhorting the believers about the greatness of God, the great salvation they've received, the great calling, the great purpose they have, the unlimited ability or the unlimited resources of God to fulfill the calling. And he talks about how it's God's plan that the church would display his wisdom and power in the earth. And it's incredible. But then Paul says in chapter 3, verse 12, "Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence." Notice those words, boldly and confidently. That is how God wants us to approach him. He sent his son to redeem us, to cleanse us from all sin, to make a way for us to come into his presence. And he doesn't want us to come in timidly. He wants us to come boldly. Paul continues, "For this reason, because he wants me to come boldly, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and through all generations forever and ever. Amen." You can hear the passion in Paul. This is what God has done for us. And because he's invited us to come boldly before the throne of grace, I'm kneeling down. And he's saying, this God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. He's got a revelation of the Christ and the magnitude of the redemption he's been given, and it provokes him to kneel boldly. He says, God can do more than we can ever ask or imagine. To me, Paul is challenging the church to dream. He's challenging the people of Ephesus to think big, to have great expectation, to be bold before the throne. The writer of Hebrews 4 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." Church, God, Christ has made a way for us to come to God, so come boldly. This is not a time for some little "now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayers. This is a time to understand we have a great God with a great destiny for us, and to come boldly and grab a hold of it in Jesus' name. These are the kinds of prayers that move the heart of God, that move his hand, which leads me to my second point. The scriptures show us clearly that God responds to bold prayers. He loves them. One of my favorite examples is found in 1 Chronicles 4. Now, as much as I love the Bible, I must confess, there are some books of the Bible and some chapters that, quite frankly, sorry, Lord, but they're boring. They are dry. Maybe some of you have made that New Year's resolution. I'm going to pray from Genesis to Revelation this year, and probably February you're hitting Leviticus. How are you doing here? Are you still slogging through? Well, 1 Chronicles 4 is like this. The beginning of 1 Chronicles is not great reading. If you want to fall asleep at night, start in 1 Chronicles 1. By the time you get to 4, you're probably out cold. The first number of chapters are just giving us lists of descendants from Adam and Israel and David. It's just a list of names. It just goes on and on and on. Tribes this, tribes that. Not much is said about the names. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9, it's like God says, hold on a second. We got to talk about one guy. And we get one paragraph that gives us some information about this guy when nobody else has given any information. And it says, there was this man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, which means he causes pain. How would you like that? Every time that your mom calls for you, come here, you who caused me pain. Because his birth had been so painful. And it says this, he was the one. It was like he was known somehow. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me. This was a bold prayer. That you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. He was the one with the bold prayer, this Jabez. There was something about Jabez that delighted the heart of God. There was something about how he refused to accept the label that had been given to him from the time he was born. That he was a pain. There was something about how he approached God with such courage that moved God's heart to respond and to also highlight his story for us. There are so many examples in Scripture that show over and over that God loves it when we pray with confidence and with faith. The question then becomes, where does the courage to pray such bold prayers come from? And the answer, I believe, is that bold prayers come out of a close relationship with God. You know, there was something beautiful that I sensed in the people of God who came to pray on Wednesday night. There was a genuine sense of people returning to the Lord. And Jamoki, who was leading that night, she led us in some prayers of repentance. And she challenged us from the story of Elijah and his bold prayer on Mount Carmel. Of course, it was the story where he called down fire from heaven. But before the fire fell, she reminded us, he rebuilt the altar of God. And her challenge to us was that God was calling us to rebuild the altar of God that had been torn down and neglected in our own personal lives. And she challenged us to do some soul searching and to look at where we needed to repair the altar. It was a call back to surrender. It was a call back to worship, a call back to community, a call back to prayer. It was a call back to putting the Lord first in our lives. And I think many of us that night looked into our lives, and as we searched our hearts, we could see areas of the altar of God that needed repair, that had been neglected. It really was a call back to intimacy with God. You see, when the altar is repaired and when intimacy with God is restored, prayers that release the fire of God are birthed. There is a verse in Scripture that I think we often misinterpret. It's found in Psalm 37:4, and it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Some people think, well, if I'm a good Christian, God will give me the big house or the new set of golf clubs that I desire. Now, sometimes God does those things because he's just awesome like that. He loves to bless us. But I don't think that's exactly what the verse means. You see, delighting in the Lord is to fall in love with Him. The word delight actually means, when I looked at it this week, to be pampered. Who doesn't love to be pampered? David is describing his relationship with the Lord in this way. He's basically saying, it's so good to be with the Lord. He's such a good God. He's so kind to me. David loves being with the Lord. This whole delighting in the Lord suggests an intimate, personal relationship. And David is saying that as he delights himself in the Lord gave him his heart's desires. But I want to suggest something to you that I've found in my own personal life. When I delight myself in the Lord, something happens to my desires. They change. The more I know the Lord, the more I understand His heart, the more I want to do what He wants me to do. My priorities shift. My will becomes conformed to His will. And my prayers become ones like Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That becomes my greatest desire. And when I know His heart and when I know His will, I can pray with confidence that I will have what I ask for because my prayers are actually being inspired by God Himself. He's provoking them. The major prayer is the major part of our relationship with God. It's through prayer that I come to God, but it's in that posture of prayer that I hear His voice. And the closer I am, the clearer the voice becomes. And I tell you, when you hear the voice of God, it changes everything. The more you are filled with His Holy Spirit, the more your prayers become led of the Spirit. And the more results we see. You know, sometimes we marvel at the courage of Elijah to stand in front of Ahab and tell him, it's not going to rain for 3 years. And then later tell him, it's going to rain. Even though it was drought. We marvel at His courage to challenge the prophets of Baal to a fire-making challenge to determine who is the true God. We marvel at how He told Ahab, you better eat your lunch quickly because I'm hearing the sound of rain even though there wasn't a cloud in the sky. We marvel at how He kept praying, each time sending His servant to go look and see if there was a cloud in the sky, and 7 times His servant comes back and says there's none. And finally, on the 7th time, He says, well, there is one now that's the size of a man's hand. And we marvel then at how Elijah says to Ahab, you better go now because the rain that's coming, you're going to have trouble. Was Elijah some special kind of human being? Well, when James exhorted us to pray bold and fervent prayers, he was pointing us back to this very story of these bold prayers of Elijah. When he says, it's the fervent prayer that produces much, just like Elijah. And he says, oh, and by the way, Elijah was just as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, it didn't fall. And when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain. Elijah was as human as we are. And James is pointing us to the story of Elijah and saying, he prayed bold prayers, so can you. Where did that boldness for Elijah come from? It came because he had heard the voice of God. He had heard God say, there is a rain coming. And that voice provoked the boldness in his prayer. Are you lacking faith these days? Are you struggling to dream? Is the voice of the Lord distant? Do you feel like you are praying powerless prayers? Then today I want to challenge you. You need to rebuild the altar of God in your life. And you need to draw near to Him again. You need to begin to delight yourself in the Lord again. And I tell you what's going to happen. He's going to give you His desires that are going to produce bold prayers that are going to lead to amazing results. Church, God has been provoking me this week about praying more boldly. I want to confess to you that I used to pray more bolder than I've been praying lately. But no more. When I was in my early 20s, I regularly delighted myself in the Lord. And in that delighting in the Lord, one of the desires he put on my heart was to preach the gospel. It was his desire. The desire to preach the gospel birthed some big dreams and provoked some big prayers. They were God-inspired prayers. I wanted to preach to stadiums filled with people, with signs and wonders following. Several times in my 20s, I went down to the old Taylor Field, and I walked around Taylor Field, and I asked God for the stadiums of Canada. I asked God that he would give me stadiums to preach the gospel in. When I think back now, what a crazy, ridiculous prayer that was. That dream of preaching the gospel in stadiums was on life support many times, but as most of you know so well, after almost 20 years, God made that dream a reality to some degree. I believe what I've had the privilege to do in Africa was birthed in some of those prayer walks around that stadium. But as I said to you, I also asked for the stadiums of Canada. I've never preached in any stadium in Canada. I wanted to preach in Taylor Field. And sometimes I look back and I think, maybe I was just a dumb kid who was just a foolish dreamer. But you know what? I believe God provoked those prayers. I believe that God was provoking me to believe for big things. I remember one time in a service, someone coming up to me and saying, we prophesy in this church over Christians all the time. Do you think we could prophesy over a non-believer? I didn't know. I said, I don't know, but I'd like to find out. Why don't we go down to the university and try? Took a group of young people, some friends, and we went down to the foyer at the university and we saw a young couple sitting in the pit. We said, let's ask God to show us something about them that we could not possibly know. And we prayed. And God did. And I was designated as the man to go and find out if we had heard from God. And I remember as I crossed the room with my heart pounding in my chest, thinking I'm either going to blow this guy's mind or I'm going to look like a fool. And crazy enough, God answered our prayers. His mind was blown, which led to another crazy encounter of praying for a girl in the ICU at the hospital who had never met to be healed. She'd been hit by a car. She died. I tried to raise her from the dead. I pulled on her arms in a hospital room for a half an hour, calling her to her feet. I think back. That was a bold prayer. I don't understand all these things. I just know that God filled me with this desire to see sick people well and a belief that his power could do the amazing things. So I prayed bold prayers. I've seen God open blind eyes and cause mute people to speak in answer to some of my prayers since then. I once asked God, when we were considering building this new expansion, I didn't know if it was God, and I was having doubts. And one time as I was praying, I heard God say to me, Joel, be very strong and very courageous. And suddenly the words came out of my mouth, well, then give me a check for the architect tomorrow. And most of you know the story. After the service, a man, a stranger who I'd never met, handed me a check for $40,000. The Lord had provoked that prayer. There have been so many times in just seeking the Lord that he's dropped words in my spirit that have provoked bold prayers that led to great things. You know, I'm going to finish with this. I had a cool moment in January of this year regarding a prayer that I prayed for my daughter, Eden. Many of you know that Eden suffered an injury on the basketball court in November. She tore her ACL and her meniscus in her knee in a practice. Of course, it's her first year at the U of R, and she was there on basketball scholarship, which she's been dreaming about her whole life, and it was devastating for all of us. Basketball career on hold, seemed like everything was falling apart. And of course, without getting the surgery, not only would she lose this whole season, but if she didn't get the surgery quick, she'd lose next year as well, because it's 9 to 12 months of recovery. And our lives were put on hold in some ways, because we didn't know when that, you know what it's like, when are you going to get called for surgery? We were trying to do a family cruise at Christmas time, and we had to cancel it because we didn't know if we'd get called. And right before Christmas, I was pouring out my heart to God, just in my office one day at night, and I was saying, God, we need a breakthrough here. We need surgery. And I found myself asking specifically that Eden would get her surgery the very first week in January. It just came out of my mouth. God, I want Eden to have that surgery the first week in January. And I just was declaring it. And as I was declaring it in my office, I had this distinct sense that God told me she's going to get that surgery in January. He had provoked the prayer the first week in January. I felt pretty good about it. Well, the last week in December, Eden got a phone call, or she had a meeting with her surgeon, and he said, good news, Eden, I got you a date in January. He had told us it was about 80% we could get in by the end of January. He said, good news, I got you a date, January 18th. She was excited, but inside I was like, oh, I thought God told me first week of January. Oh, well, January 18th is pretty good. I wish I could tell you that I had the faith to say, I don't care what the doctor told you, Eden. The Lord told me it's going to be the first week of January. I was a little bummed. Then on January 2nd, it was a Sunday, I think it was January 2nd, it was a Sunday night. At 7 p.m., the hospital calls. Eden, can you be ready for surgery tomorrow morning? The doctor wants to squeeze you in. Not only was it the first week in January, it was the first day of the first week in January that she got her surgery. And by the way, on January 18th, when she was scheduled to have her surgery, she had COVID. It would have been postponed. It would have been delayed even into February. Now, you might think that is just a little thing, that it's an insignificant thing. Perhaps you're even saying it's just a coincidence. But I know that God provoked a bold prayer in my office. I know that God was saying to me, Joel, I can make a way where there is no way. It was a little thing, but to me it was a big thing. It was God just signing his name. You don't understand what's all going on here. You've been frustrated, but I'm still here. I'm still with you. I can still make ways where there are no ways. I want to challenge you this morning to pray bold prayers. Better yet, I want to challenge you to ask God, what are the bold prayers he wants you to pray? I want you to ask him to put his dreams in your heart. I want you to ask him to awaken the dreamer that's inside of you. God is still on the move. Yes, we've been in a season of endurance and setback and drought, but I can hear the sound of a coming rain. Can you hear it? I can hear it in my spirit this morning. Let me prophesy to you. We are entering a new season, a season of growth, a season of breakthrough, a season of miracles. We will see all these chairs filled again and then some. We will see our youth group grow again. We will see teams travel to the nations again. We will see a new generation grab a hold of the destiny of God. We will see this church impact this city for the glory of God. We will see the prayer room filled with people again. Why? Because I believe it is the will of God. It's the will of God. So let the people of God arise, knowing they have the will of God, and reach into heaven and say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I will not stop until I see it completed. Why don't you stand with me this morning? My dad preached long last week, so I got an extra few minutes. He's my mentor. Andrew, do you want to come? We got kids in Sunday school and all those good things, and 2 weeks in a row of leaving the teachers to die might get me in trouble, but I really believe that God wants to break off some apathy, some discouragement. I believe that God wants to even speak to you, some of you this morning, about some fresh dreams and some old dreams. I believe that God wants to awaken something within us. And so I'm going to open the altars this morning. And I'm going to invite you to come. And I'm going to pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit for an impartation of faith, of boldness, confidence, passion, fire. So why don't you come now? If you feel that you need that prayer.
Jesus, here I come. Jesus, here.
Let's come. There's a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere. I'm reminded this morning of how at the beginning of creation it says that the earth was formless and void. Great darkness covered the earth. In a sense, we've been in a time when great darkness has covered the earth. But then the scripture says, but the Spirit of God was hovering. And then God spoke into the darkness. And his creative voice birthed life. And there's a sense this morning, right here in this room, that the Spirit of God is hovering. He's hovering over the darkness. He's hovering over the deadness in our lives. He hasn't left his people. And now's the time in your own spirit begin to cry out, God, speak your creative words. Speak your creative word into my heart. Just in your own spirit begin to pray that prayer. God, speak into the darkness of my heart. Speak into the dead places of my heart. Oh God, we need a fresh word. We need a fresh word, oh God. Speak to your people. Speak your dreams over your people. Let the limitations of the enemy be lifted off the people of God. Open our eyes to your greatness. Open our eyes to your power. Awaken your people. Let faith arise in the people of God again. Father, let there be an impartation this morning of radical faith in the people of God, of radical expectation in the kingdom of God, in the people of God. I'm reminded of how Elijah, time after time, kept sending his servant. There was an expectation, even though he didn't see what he was expecting to see. The expectation never left. Go look again. Go look again. Go look again. I know what God said, so keep looking. I know you're going to see it. And Lord, I pray that there would be keep looking in our spirit this morning. Go have another look. Go have another look. Go have another look, because I know what God said to me. And so I'm going to look with expectation. God, I pray that you would release a sense of great expectation upon your people. That we would look again with hope. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh God, let the prophets arise in this house again. Let the voice of God begin to be declared. The prophetic word of the Lord released again over the house of God. Let the prophets begin to prophesy the destiny of God over this house in Jesus' name. Oh, let the prophets begin to prophesy to the enemy and the forces of darkness. Here's what God has said. Here's the word of the Lord. Oh, let the evangelists arise in the house again. Oh, God, put the call upon the evangelists. Let them hear your word this morning. Who will go for me? And God, let there be a great response. I'll go if you're calling me. Oh, God, awaken the evangelists. Let the teachers and the preachers begin to arise. Apostles and prophets, evangelists and teachers. Oh, God, stir within your people the desires to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick, and to see them recover. Oh, God, let there be a great expectation for signs and wonders and miracles, because that is who you are. You are a God of miracles. You are a God of signs and wonders. You are a God of power. Oh God, let there be great gifts of faith released in this house. Faith to believe for radical things. Faith to believe for radical provision. Radical breakthroughs. Oh God, provoke your people to pray bold prayers this morning. Oh God, let there be just some stirring in the hearts of the people. This is what I want to do. This will be a house where people with mental illness and depression and heaviness are going to get set free radically by the power of God.